Well, today, as we have heard from Clint, from our colic, today is the Feast of the Epiphany. January 6th, marking the end of the Christmas season, the 12 days of Christmas, is the Feast of the Epiphany, which is one of the great feasts of the church year. The word Epiphany, you may know it. It means, comes from a Greek word, which means to appear or to be made manifest. You know, if you've had an epiphany, it means that a great idea has suddenly come to you. You've had a revelation sort of thing. And the Feast of the Epiphany specifically celebrates the manifestation of Christ to the Gentiles. As in our gospel reading, the wise men are the first Gentiles to see and worship Christ as Lord. So we celebrate the Feast of the Epiphany as the first instance of Christ being made known into all the world. As our reading from Isaiah proclaims over all nations, "Arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you." It's a glorious feast that we're celebrating today, commemorating the light of Christ shining not only in a stable in Bethlehem, not only in Israel, but throughout the whole world, inviting all nations to come bask in the light of Christ's presence. But our gospel reading paints a little bit more complex picture, doesn't it? One of the poignant things I've noticed about our gospel reading this morning is the vastly contrasted responses to this manifestation of Christ in the world. And these varying responses, I think, give us insight into our own responses to Christ. I'm thinking specifically of Herod's response versus that of the wise men. Herod's response, you remember, you just heard, is dictated by fear, especially a fear of losing control. And as our reading, after our reading from today ends, this the story continues. Herod actually seeks to kill Jesus, going through drastic means. So that's Herod's response, one of fear and kind of desperation. Whereas the wise men are led, perhaps even mysteriously as far as they are concerned, by a wonder and a joy that wells up from inside them as they draw ever closer to this one whose star they're following. The wise men follow the star, not knowing exactly what they will find, but following also perhaps this inkling inside them that this star is leading them to the source of their very life, which indeed it was. W.H. Auden, in his poetic retelling of the Christmas story, has the wise men proclaim, "To discover how to be human now is the reason we follow this star. To discover how to be human now is the reason we follow this star." And as it was true for them, so it is true for us. The one who the star guides us to is the very hope of the whole world. The one who shows us who we truly are, who ushers us into life and truth and peace. He himself, Jesus Christ, is the rest from our weary journeys across vast distances. He is the one who rescues us from the kingdom of anxiety, as Auden puts it, who gives us citizenship under his rule, where our lives are constituted by his grace and perfect love toward us, which casts out all fear. But you know, there is a cost to getting close to this Christ child, this light which has come into the world, enlightening everything. Because as it enlightens everything, it enlightens even the darker places within ourselves. And Herod's response, which is one of fearful clamoring and scheming to manage or to kill this rival king, represents, I think, a lot of the fears that play on all of us as we may be confronted with this light. That is a fear in the need to maintain control, even if our lives are not how we want them to be. The fear of healing and wholeness, even. Perhaps because the brokenness we know somehow feels safer than the healing we can't yet imagine. And this fear that plays on us is insidious. I mean, the political climate and the consumer economy thrive on our discontents and fears, and on keeping us discontented and fearful. And they readily offer us solutions in the next candidate or the next gadget. But in the end, we know that they won't solve our problems. And our capitulation to them is really just a papering over of the brokenness of our own hearts. It's our shirking back into the darkness that feels safer, away from this light that has come shining forth into the world. But in doing so, in papering over and shirking back, even if we maintain a semblance of control, we end up robbing ourselves of the depth of life that we were actually created for. We rob ourselves of the discovery of what it means to be truly human, to be vulnerable and to love, to experience wonder and joy like we were made to do. And it is into this brokenness and this fear that Jesus comes into the world, undeterred, even though it will cost him his life. Jesus comes into the world as a baby, comes making himself vulnerable to us, precisely to dispel our fears, especially our fear of our own brokenness. He invites us to come into his presence and to explore the depths of our own hearts, to come with even wonder and joy into his presence, to confront even the dark places within us, and to discover there that those things do not define us. Our brokenness does not define us, but rather his love for us, which is stronger than death, which casts out all fear, and which is what led him to come among us as a baby in the first place. We were made for wonder and joy and love. And this child that the wise men sought actually came into the world seeking us, seeking every one of you. And he gave himself on the cross to restore in us the life and peace that he made us for. Arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. May the light of his love dispel the fog of fear that so often clouds our vision. And may we, with the wise men, come with wonder and joy to find our true home in him. Amen. Yeah.